Okay, we're live. Hi, this is William Ramsey. Welcome to William Ramsey Investigates. On today's show, I have a very special guest, a returning guest. His name is John Noe, and we've talked twice in 2021. The first time was about a book. He's written many books. This one, the first one, was The Next Great Reformation, 96 Theses for Reclaiming Jesus' Everlasting Kingdom. And then we talked about a book he published this year as well, and it's about his kind of experience in the movie industry. And about Josephus, somebody who I'm interested in as well. And that title of that book was 70 AD. I think it was published April 2021, and we talked about the book in June 2021. Mm-hmm. And so a list of some of his other books are Perfect Ending for the World, 2011, A Greater Jesus, 2012, Off Target, 18 Bullseyes Exposed, 2012, Unraveling the End, 2014, and Hell Yes, Hell No, published 2015, and A Once Mighty Faith, 2016. His website is www.prophecyrefi.org. So it's prophecyrefi.org. He also has a YouTube channel titled Greater Than We Believe. And I think it's a very timely subject, this creation of evil. And what it is, it's definitely kind of like a stumbling block for people when they look at certain religions, particularly Christianity, but John can talk more about that. So John Noe, welcome back to the show. Thanks for coming back.
Yeah, William, good to be with you once again, even for the second time today, huh?
Right. It feels like deja vu all over again.
I'm gonna let your audience in on a little secret here.
Okay.
We already did the opening of this for about 10 or 12 minutes.
Yeah.
And because of the nature of what we're doing, somebody cut us off.
That's right. There was definitely some form of interloper.
But we I'm not going to say it was evil. But and by the way, I am not an expert on evil. Now, I've read a lot about evil. I've written about evil, but I have not experienced a lot of evil. So I can't say that cutting us off after the first 12 minutes of our interview earlier today was an evil thing. But it could have been. You never know. Could have been.
Well, I think that's an important way to look at it is, what is the definition of evil? We talked in our earlier conversation that's the finish of the Lord's Prayer, is deliver us from evil. But how do you define evil? Is evil different? Is there an external understanding that everybody can agree to? Or is it a subjective kind of definition? What do you think?
How about the opposite of God's love?
Okay.
That
works for me.
I mean, you know, we could get into all sorts of esoteric kind of discussions on that, but I'm going to suggest we start at the beginning.
Okay, good.
How does that sound for you?
Sounds great.
And the best way I have found, William, to get involved in a serious subject like this, and even a depressing subject like this for some people, is with a little humor. So what do you say we do it that way? Okay.
Yes.
Can you see this cartoon?
Yes.
Can your viewers see that? Am I holding it right?
Yeah, I think you've got it just right. That's perfect right there. Yes. Okay. And that's in your book. That's in the intro to your book.
It is. And it's a picture of a guy going up to a information booth in a shopping mall. And the lady is sitting behind it. And he asks her this question. He says, if God is all knowing and all good and all powerful, why does he allow evil? And her response, and the response is, or the caption down below it in the bottom, says, improper use of shopping mall information booth. Now, when we did this the first time, you laughed.
It's still interesting. It's still amusing. Still amusing.
But you know, when you hear a joke for the second time, you usually don't laugh, right?
Right.
So that's kind of typical.
But this joke, I mean, it's kind of he hits her with a very profound philosophical question, is why is that? And
yes,
I mean, sometimes that people could give her that blank stare right back, right?
If you ask me. Well, no kidding. So that's fast forward here. And do you have any idea how most people would answer when you ask them the question, well, who's responsible for evil? Who created evil? I mean, how come we have all this evil on planet Earth? And you know, how can we turn on TV and we see all this evil? I mean, who put it here in the first place? Who do you think would be, most people would say, would be responsible for that?
Human beings.
Yes. That's the number one culprit. In the literature, most authors have written on this and so forth, ascribe the existence or presence or creation of evil to human free will. And it goes all the way back to Adam and Eve, you know, in the opening chapters of the Bible in Genesis, to when Adam and Eve disobeyed God and ate the apple, and then all hell broke loose, you know, on planet Earth. Now, what do you think?
The fall, right? The fall caused
it. What we call the fall, right? They say that's the creation of evil. Well, that's not the creation of evil. What do you think the second most popular culprit for being the originator of evil might
be? The devil. The devil, right?
One less. Absolutely. And demonic angels and all this kind of stuff. And it kind of goes back to what I've called Wilson theology. You know, remember Flip Wilson?
Right. Yep.
And his famous saying, "The devil made me do it." All right.
They used to say that much more. Now that I'm older, you don't hear that much more. But
well, Flip
that was
Wilson
much more no common in the 70s and 80s. Yeah.
Yeah. Flip Wilson's no longer on TV. That's one reason why. Now, the third culprit that in the literature for being the origin or the creation of evil is something that not very many people know about. And it's very minor as far as the volume that ascribed to this third source. But it's called pre-creation chaos. In other words, that theory, and it is a theory, that theory is that before God created all that is, there existed, believe it or not, evil forces in the pre-creation stratosphere, or whatever you might call it, whatever that is. Nobody knows really what it is or can define it, but it's just a theory. The fourth culprit, however, is kind of mysterious. And that fourth culprit it's a mystery. It's a mystery. And in fact, Timothy Keller, a very well-known Christian author and pastor and so forth, in his book, Walking with God Through Pain and Suffering, I'm going to quote him here. He said this. He said, "Evil is neither simply the result of flawed individuals," that would be the free will source, "nor merely a single powerful being like the devil," which was the number two culprit, if you remember. He says, "It stems from both, as well as from the effects of a corrupt created order. And ultimately, we can't see all the roots and sources of evil. It is a mystery." Well, how are you going to deal with a mystery?
Well, I don't know. If you can't define something, then it makes it a lot harder to deal with, I would say.
That's right. You got that right. So let's deal with it anyway, okay?
Let's try. Let's do it. I think it's very important. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to present a proposition to you and see what you think about this.
Okay.
Here's my, it's what you might call a theological proposition. Here it is. You ready?
Yes.
See if you agree. You tell me, agree or disagree, all right?
Okay.
No evil, no Christianity.
Agreed.
Without evil, there would have been no need for progression of covenants or grounds for the law and the prophets throughout the Old Testament.
Agreed.
Without evil, no reason for Israel or its animal sacrifice, blood, temple system.
Right. Agreed.
Man, you're easy to get along with.
I know. I mean, I just say yes to everything.
Okay, we're not done yet.
Right,
okay,
right.
You still with me?
Yes.
Without evil, no rationale for sending the Christ.
Right. Agreed. Correct. I agree with that.
No reason for him to lower himself or to be crucified on a cross, right?
Right. Agreed.
Without evil, no basis for redemption or resurrection.
100%. Agreed.
Without evil, no purpose in pouring out the Holy Spirit.
Probably, yeah, absolutely agree with that.
And here's my last one. Without evil, no churches.
Agreed, 100%.
No pastors.
Right.
No Bible. No gospel. No Christians.
Yeah, it's an essential part of the whole story of humanity. Biblical humanity from the beginning.
It's an essential part. Yeah. That's real critical in identifying the proper origin and creation of evil. Is that recognition that you've verified for me of why it's essential and what made it essential. In other words, no evil, no Christianity, to sum all that up. Now, few in Christian history, William, have seriously contemplated this possibility of the interconnectedness of evil as being a necessity for Christianity. Few, I know, I've done the research on this, or recognize this conundrum. And that is why theologians and philosophers and pastors and even atheists alike have traditionally been accustomed to referring to and treating evil as the problem of evil, right, as opposed to the necessity.
Right. Very important distinction, yes.
Very important distinction. And one scholar, another scholar, this happens to be Gregory Gasselet, in a book titled God and Evil, The Case for God in the World Filled with Pain, he writes this. He said, Christianity requires there to be evil. If no evil existed, we would know that Christianity is false. Furthermore, Christianity requires a great deal more than a superficial amount of evil. If evil had to be so significant that the highest sacrifice is warranted. What do you think of that?
Right.
Christianity, this is the last sentence in this quote. Christianity is a story of God entering the world and paying the highest price to deal with the root of evil. In other words, no Christianity or no evil, no Christianity. Think that
right, because they're oppositional. The Christianity is supposed to solve the issues of evil.
That's right. So in this book, a little shameless promotion here.
No, put it up there.
In color.
Much better.
A little bit of color. My twofold focus, William, was to, number one, dispel faulty beliefs, which we've begun to do so far, and number two, to cast better light on this whole idea of a mystery of evil and realize that it is not a mystery. What it is an essential.
Right.
Huge difference. Okay, so you want to get into it a little bit?
Yes, let's do it.
All right. Let's fast forward here. Gordon Spikeman, who was one of the theologians whose textbook, The Reformational Theology, A Paradigm for Doing Dogmatics, was one of my required texts in my doctoral program, wrote this. He says, if we get first things wrong, last things will also turn out wrong. Well, as we're going to see here, we've gotten first things really wrong. And what we're not going to see here, because we don't have time to get into it, but which I've written a number of other books on, is we've also got last things really wrong too. And the primary reason is because we've gotten first things wrong.
Gotcha.
So, all right. So where did evil come from in the first place? N.T. Wright, a very famous theologian, maintains that the origin of evil itself remains a mystery. See, he's still hung up in that mystery stuff. But the biblically correct answer and the sole solution for the problem of evil is this. First and foremost, evil was put on this planet by, who do you think?
The Creator.
God. First and foremost, he did this before the creation of Adam and Eve. He placed evil on this planet before the fall. And the number one culprit, as we previously talked about, people describing to the as the origin of evil, is human free will. Well, he placed evil on this planet before the fall, before Adam and Eve were even created. The Bible clearly tells us this Genesis chapter 1, you know, like in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right?
Right.
Okay. And on the third day of creation week, God created all the seed-bearing plants and trees on the third day of creation week. And he saw that that was good. And then in Genesis 2:8, a small portion of that original creation was a part of the what he now called the Garden of Eden.
Right.
On that plant, right? And one of the trees in that garden, which was created on the third day of creation week, and in the middle of that garden was the tree of the knowledge of good and
evil. Right. So it's right there.
There it is. Who put that tree there?
God, the creator. Right.
God did. Right. Not Adam and Eve weren't even created yet. Were they?
Nope. Not there yet. Not till the seventh day, right?
Six, sorry.
I should know that.
Okay. Okay. So certainly it was not human free will that put it there, and certainly it was not the devil who put it there, right? And certainly it's not a mystery who put it there. I mean, it was God that put it there. Can we agree with that from a scriptural, biblical 100% standpoint?
100%, yes.
Okay. So who placed Adam and Eve in the garden next to that where that tree was located?
God.
Who gave them permission to eat from all of the other trees?
God.
Who placed the prohibition of not eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil on Adam and Eve?
God.
Who turned the devil or Satan into a serpent and put him in the garden with them?
God.
That's right. And who gave them access, or who gave him access to Adam and Eve to tempt them?
God.
That's right. And God could have cast Satan to a number of other places after he threw him out of heaven, right? He and his cohorts. I mean, he could have thrown him to, Pluto or the moon or to the other side of the earth or to Uranus or a number of places, right?
Correct.
Who gave Adam and Eve access to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil?
God.
So they would have the opportunity to disobey him.
Yes, that's right.
God. Now, God could have put an angel, you know, with a flaming sword flashing back and forth around that tree to protect it so they couldn't have gotten to it, couldn't he? Which he would use an angel later on to do that, to keep him out of the Garden of Eden. Or more simply, he could have never planted that tree there in the first place.
Right.
So in a court of law, William, we would call that culpability, would we not?
Yes.
And if that was being judged by a jury, he'd be guilty, right?
Correct.
Okay. So he also created Adam and Eve, see if you agree with this or not agree, with the capacity to be susceptible to tradition, temptation.
Yes, I would, yes.
Okay. Now, he could have created things differently, couldn't he?
Yes.
So that they would never have had been succumbed to that temptation. Or he could have turned the other cheek and just kind of ignored it and fluffed it off, right?
Agreed, yes.
But he didn't, did he? So, he could have made this whole world creation free of evil and free of sin and free of suffering, right? And a lot of Christians believe that someday that's what he's going to do, is make this whole planet new again and not have any evil or sin or suffering in it whatsoever. Well, why did he do that in the first place?
Right.
Huh?
Right. Good question.
Yeah, how about that being a good
Very
question?
important. Yeah.
Yeah. So, who is responsible for the creation of evil on this planet?
God.
There you go.
There it is. There's the title of the book.
Yep. Yeah, the creation of evil. Not human free will. That's not who's responsible. We can't create anything. You know, not the devil. Devil's not responsible for that. He can't create anything. And it's certainly not pre-existence chaos or anything like that. And it's certainly not a mystery. I mean, it's plain to see. God created the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the whole circumstance is there for everything to transpire. Now, you want to know something even more indicting and culpable than even that?
Yes.
You sure you can handle
yes,
it?
Yes, I do. I'm ready. I'm sitting down.
I mean, you're not ready to shut me down yet, are you?
No, but we're past the 21-minute mark, so we're in good shape.
Okay. All right. Let me ask you this. When was Christ slain?
Well, there's a little variation, but it's AD 30 or AD 33.
Well, there's more variation than that.
Now you're getting like,
yes.
Right.
Come on. Keep
well,
going.
I mean, before the creation of the world, right?
Yes. Yes. Right. You know where that is?
No, where is that?
It's in the Bible.
It's in the Bible, right?
But you know where it is in the Bible?
No.
Revelation chapter 13, verse 8. 13. Now, the Bible is a progression of revelation. You know, we start within the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? And we progress all the way up, and God, throughout that Bible, as you progress from the Old Testament, through the Old Testament and up into the New Testament and through the New Testament up into the book of Revelation, God progressively reveals more and more and more and more and more, right? It's called progressive revelation. And so in Revelation 13, 8, he reveals through the angel there, Jesus was slain before the foundations of the world. So even before the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was placed in the physical cosmos creation, Christ was slain. In other words, the Godhead had all planned and locked in place. So no evil, no Christianity. Jesus was slain prior to that, and it was all locked and fixed in place.
All locked in.
Now, does that blow you away? Just realizing that?
I think so. I think it's a very much of a different, like free will or something. It really goes back to the foundation, the garden, tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
Yeah. Now you want some more that'll
yes.
even blow you away yeah. even more, or blow yeah, some absolutely. Of our listeners and
absolutely.
Viewers. You ready?
Yes.
No, I'm not making this stuff up.
Right.
I mean, this is scripture.
Scripture, right.
I mean, you know, anybody could have read this prior, you know, it's not me just coming out with something new. All right. Let's get to more proof. All right. Here we go. All right. Isaiah. Now, this is part of the progressive revelation, right? Old Testament, Isaiah the prophet, in Isaiah 45:7, God is talking to Isaiah. And here's what God reveals to him. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Isaiah 45:7, King James Version. So not only did God create evil in the first place, but even in the Old Testament, he says he keeps creating evil. That he does it. Now, the Hebrew word translated as evil there in Isaiah 45 is the Hebrew word ra, R-A. And it comes from the Hebrew verb ra'ah, meaning to spoil. Some versions of the Bible, like the NIV, for example, and the NAS, they don't translate that word raw as evil. They translate, they try to soften it. You know, they try to distance God from further creation of evil by translating it as disasters or calamity. But that word "ra" there is the same word that's used back in Genesis when God created the tree of the knowledge of good and raw. Right. It's the same word. And no version of the Bible translates that I know of in Genesis, the word "ra" as disasters or calamities. And that that word "ra" is used some numerous times. Let's see if I can even remember how many times. Some 500. "Ra" is used in some 500 verses throughout the Old Testament and in a consistently applied manner. And that's that word translated as the creation of the good and evil. Isn't that something? And in this book, I have about 11 pages. 11 pages, if I can find these things real quick here for you. Here they are. I have about 10 or 11 pages listed of some of those. See that?
Yep.
Of some of those 500 places in Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus and Deuteronomy and Joshua and Samuel, 1st and 2nd, in Kings, 1st and 2nd, Proverbs, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Micah, Zechariah, and so forth throughout there, stating God saying, "I create evil, I create evil," and examples of him doing it and doing it. And "I cause evil," and all this stuff. So not only did he create it in the first place and put it in the pre-fall original garden and set up the whole circumstances for them to be tempted and to fall and fail, and sent Satan down there to do the tempting and all that stuff, cast him to the earth in that very particular, he could have cast him over into what is now Australia or America. You know, he didn't have to put him there, right? In that little bitty patch of ground, however big that was. And my goodness gracious. I mean, this is so, you know, who is a source of evil? Who is a creator of evil? Now the question is, all right, if God did all this, why did he do it? I mean, he didn't have to do this way, did he?
No.
And again, as I mentioned earlier, you know, most Christians have been taught and believe that one of these days God's going to come back and fix it. And he's going to fix it by removing all the bad stuff he put in here in the first place. Now, does that sound like that's kind of like a oops to you?
Yeah, it doesn't sound like you believe that.
Well, I believe in an all-powerful God, an all-knowing God. You know, do you think he's learned better as he's aged?
No, I think that he's already had all the issues of what he already settled in the mind of God.
Absolutely, absolutely. So let's take a look at maybe why God put that here. How much time do we have left?
Lots. We're at 28 minutes.
28
take
minutes.
Take your time.
All right. Now, I'm just kind of going. I mean, this is a huge topic.
Right.
Huge
topic. Important. Very important. Very important.
Well, I can make an argument it's the most important.
Well, that's.
I'll go back to Spikeman's quote. If we get first things wrong, we're going to get last things wrong. And guess what? If we get first things and last things wrong, we're going to get present things wrong. And guess what? We have.
Yes.
We have big time. We need to get this stuff all straightened out, by the way, which is the topic of my next book.
Oh, great. When's it coming out?
Well, I don't know. We'll see. I'm going to be floating it out next year, which comes in a couple of days.
Yeah, not that right? far off.
You want to hear the tentative title?
Yes.
The Late Great Faith Robbery.
That sounds good.
What do you think?
Sounds good. It reminds me of the late great planet Earth.
That's intentional. Do you know that book has sold over 40 million copies?
It's incredible. It's really one of the best-selling so-called Christian books.
Next to the Bible.
Wow.
I mean, it's outsold the Left Behind series. Wow. And they had all sorts of books in their series. And it's been translated into over 50 languages. I mean, and William, that book came out in the, I think it was 69 or 70, in that range, wow, when it first came out. And, my goodness, it's just, there's never been another book utilizing the phrase late great.
No.
Never been.
No, I didn't know that.
I mean, I've checked that out.
What's your opinion on its predictions? Do you think that a lot of, I thought
totally wrong.
Yeah, that's what I thought too.
Totally unbiblical, but yeah, the popular view in evangelical Christianity.
Now, unfortunately, a lot of those popular views are not biblical. Some of the other ones today that kind of have that so-called prediction, prophetic voice, often they don't work out the way that the author is. I don't want to name names, but
I just name names. Why are you so bashful?
You go. You tell me. You tell about me your what? Names.
About what?
I don't know.
About who else got
I'm just wrong? Saying that I think that I would just say this, John, is there are books out there in the similar vein of Late Great Planet Earth that make predictions that haven't come true or were off the mark.
And tons of them.
And they're like you said, they're popular. They're kind of easily digestible.
That's right.
But they're not.
And we have a long trail of failed predictions. And you would think that, you know, that would totally discredit Christianity.
It does to a certain extent. And also you think that it would discredit the people who authored those books.
You would think, but they just keep coming out with them.
They just come out with the next one. Yeah.
Did you ever play Kick the Can when you were a kid?
Many times. It was a fun game. It's free.
You know, that's what we're doing. We just keep kicking the can down the road, coming out with more books and selling more, and the prophecies come and go. And I could name names, and I do in some of my books, but I won't do it here because we're talking on a different topic. Okay.
All right.
Here's one of the reasons God created good and evil and put it in the pre-fall garden and still creates evil and still creates good. And that is what I call the dynamic of polarity. Everything in God's creation is created in a polarity type manner or polar opposites. Let me give you some examples, okay, from the physical creation. North, what? You do the opposite.
South.
North.
South.
South. East.
West.
Up.
Down.
High.
Low.
Left.
Right.
In.
Out.
Cold.
Hot.
Soft.
Hard.
Light.
Dark.
Or light, heavy. Okay, light, dark.
Oh, light, dark, light, heavy, too. Yeah. Sorry.
Okay, wet.
Dry.
Clean.
Dirty.
Mountain.
Valley.
Fast.
Slow.
Large.
Small.
Open.
Closed.
Empty.
Full.
Positive.
Negative.
Plus.
Minus.
Protons.
Protons.
Electron. I'll help you. Electron.
Okay. I don't know how scientific you want to get to me.
All right. Day. Day.
Night.
Winter.
Summer.
Past.
Present.
Or future. Yeah.
Future. Sorry.
Loud.
Loud would be silent.
Yep. Sweet.
Sweet or savory.
Savor.
Savory. I don't know. Sweet and savory. The opposite of sweet. I don't know.
Okay. Sour
sweet or
sour.
Sour.
Better.
Sorry. Sour. You're right.
Okay. Beautiful.
Ugly.
Yeah. Beginning.
Ending.
Yes.
No.
True.
False.
Fact.
Fiction.
Right.
Left. Wrong.
Love.
Hate.
Sacred.
Profane.
Yeah, I'm surprised you got that one right.
I missed the easy one.
Joy.
Sorrow.
Laughter.
Sadness.
Or tears. Justice.
Injustice.
Well?
Well, ill.
Or sick, yeah. Hope?
Pope. Pope or pagan? Pope or what's the opposite of that? Pope or
despair.
Oh, hope. I thought you said pope. Sorry, hope is despair.
Oh, hope.
I thought you said pope. I thought you were throwing me over a curve.
Okay. Pleasure.
Pain.
Feast.
Famine.
Blessings.
Cursings.
Riches.
Poverties.
Right. Success.
Failures.
Victory.
Defeat.
Peace.
War.
Contentment.
Contentment. Strife.
Or anger or whatever. Anger. Yeah. Sorry. Forgiveness.
Vengeance.
Or bitterness. Reward.
Reward. Opposite of reward is punishment. Reward and punishment.
Yes. Gain.
Gain and loss.
Yes. Less.
More.
Growth.
Growth. Desiccation.
Close. Decay.
Decay.
Young.
Old.
Young.
Old.
Birth.
Death.
Thesis.
Antithesis.
Yes, good. And one more, ready?
Okay.
Good.
Evil.
That's why. In order to have one, you have to have the opposite. Thesis. Antithesis. This dualistic dynamic, William, I present in my book, permeates and penetrates almost, if not everything around us, as nature always has a double aspect.
And it goes all the way back, like you said, pre-garden, in the foundation of creation.
So why would God structure his creation this way? As we can further explore, maybe in another program, because I don't know how much more time we got here.
We're doing good.
Okay. God, in his omniscience, now omniscience means all-knowing. In his omniscience, knew it would be necessary in order to accomplish his purposes for us humans, physically, morally, emotionally, spiritually, and eternally, to put us in a temporary situation such as this. And when we've been there, not here, 10,000 years, perhaps we'll be able to appreciate it better.
Well, I can't remember which missive of Paul's it was, but it was a letter. I can't remember which one, but it was part of God's wisdom that you would come from the fall and rise to the grace and Savior through Christ. And it was part, it kind of goes about how man's progression was. I wish I could remember that line. I don't know if that comes to mind for you at all, but
no,
he said something. It was about the great plan of God. Like, this was the great plan to come from sin to grace. I wish I could remember that, but it kind of comes to me like that duality of just like people's pre, you know, Christian life and post-Christian life.
Oh,
I wish I could remember that offline. I had to go back and reread.
But God's whole creation, both the physical creation and the spiritual creation, or the covenant creation, is based on polarity. You know, opposing forces or concepts and so forth. And the major physical force on planet Earth, of course, is gravity. It's essential, because we couldn't even walk if we didn't have gravity.
Right.
Right. We couldn't even drink water. Watch this.
Right. There it goes.
I couldn't do that if we didn't have gravity.
Right.
Here. And a whole host of other activities. Well, guess what? In a similar manner, we have the moral and spiritual growth that we are put here. We're put here to seek him, to seek him. We have to have a reason to seek him. You know, if there was no evil here, why would we want to seek God?
Right. It's true.
Isn't that true?
Yes, very true.
That's deep, so. Isn't it?
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, how else, William, could we develop virtues like truthfulness and patience and courage and handle adversity and be loyal and merciful and compassionate and faithful and have forgiveness and repentance? And how could we develop and flourish in these if there were no opposites from which to discern and to differentiate and to choose?
All right, there you go. And it goes back to the tree. That's the knowledge of good and evil.
Yeah. And who put that there?
God.
Before the fall, before human free will had anything to say about
it. Right.
God did. So who's the creator of evil? God. And he tells us that. He tells us that, as we looked in Isaiah 45:7, I create darkness and evil. I, God, do it. And set up the system for it. He is culpable. Now, he's also supreme. But if you don't like it, guess what?
Right. And you could actually do the opposite. The creation of evil, you could go through scripture and type in good and see like all the different prophets and teachers saying do good, focus on good. Moses, all the way through. I think Moses was very simple line. He just said, choose good.
Yeah. Now, there's a lot of different dimensions we could go to from here, because there's a lot. I just kind of laid out, the beginning of it. And there's a lot of ramifications here.
Let's leave it there and people can get the book and look into it in greater depth. I think that's a good intro to the book. Like, we've hit 42 minutes and there's a lot more in this book. There's a lot more chapters and information, but you really go deeper into this. You talk about dualities, like what you talk about, dualities of evil and
natural
stuff.
Evil.
A lot of quotes, yeah.
Natural, you know.
A lot of theologians. Like, you really covered a lot of theologians as well.
I do. I quote a lot of them, yes.
Mm-hmm. John, where's the best place for people to get The Creation of Evil?
Amazon.com.
Amazon's the best way. And if people want to read...
All my books are on Amazon.com.
And you're thinking about your new book is going to be out early 2022 or later?
Don't know, because we're trying to get it majorly published, like the late great Planet Earth was.
Gotcha.
Good. Now, that and a dime will buy you a cup of coffee. No,
right. Well, good luck. I mean,
about $3 now, isn't it? Back when right. That thing.
Who that published Late Great Earth? Planet Earth? Do you know? Do you know what publishing house did?
I believe it was Bantam, if I remember right.
That's a cash cow.
I think it was, but I could look and on the
I'll look into it myself. Yeah, I've got many offhand. And the best place, if people want to reach out to you, John Noe, it's Noe is your last name, is www.prophecyrefi.org, correct?
Yes.
That's the best. So they can contact you. Any questions or anything like that.
Right. I have five more books, William. I'm on my bucket list.
Nice.
And then I'm done. And that'll be a total of 22.
22 is your number, huh? Nice.
Well, that's what it is. Some of them are out of print now, but.
Well, the thing is now, a lot of people are getting their books through audio. They're listening to the audiobooks and stuff like that. So if you feel like you're out of challenges, you can always go back through and update them with. I need to do that myself, is go back and update them with audio versions, but that's a whole nother story.
Yes.
John, great to talk with you again. It's great. Thanks a lot for coming back. And
yeah, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, me too. And again, title of the book is The Creation of Evil by John Noe, published 2015. Thank you for your time. All right,
thank you.
All right, stay there.